Good morning, everyone. May I wish you all a very happy Easter, and also a happy Easter to those who are watching the service online. As we begin, let's pray. So Heavenly Father, I pray that you will take my words and my thoughts, and that you will breathe your Holy Spirit through them, so that we might hear what you have for us this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. As some of you know, I enjoy doing social media, and I have a number of Twitter accounts, a church Twitter account and my own personal Twitter account. But on Good Friday, I noticed a tweet from Professor Alice Roberts. Now, Professor Alice Roberts is the Professor of Public Engagement and Science at the University of Birmingham. She's a well-known TV presenter, a really great scientist who produces some really interesting TV programs. She is also the president of the Humanists Society here in the UK. And this is what she tweeted on Good Friday. Just a little reminder today, dead people don't come back to life. Well, that's a slightly provocative thing to post on Good Friday, whatever her beliefs may be. It doesn't sort of respect the beliefs of billions of Christians around the world. And also, she's wrong, because we know, because of Easter Sunday, that the dead do come back to life, that Jesus rose from the dead and is alive today, as many people kindly pointed out to her after she tweeted. Now, many years ago, I had the privilege of visiting Israel, and I went to the Holy Sepulchre. And the Holy Sepulchre is the church that's built over the site of where it is believed Jesus was crucified and buried. And when I went into the Holy Sepulchre, when you go into the building, there's a small chapel that's built around what is believed, and there's very strong archaeological evidence for this, to be the tomb of Jesus. And this was a tomb that was carved into the rock face, but now a little chapel's been built over it. And there was a huge queue of people trying to get into this little chapel. And I was sitting there just watching this and thinking, do I join the queue and try and get into the chapel or not? And then I started thinking to myself, well, what am I expecting to find in there? And then it sort of dawned on me, I thought, well, Jesus isn't there, he's risen. And then my attention was drawn to the beautiful dome of the Holy Sepulchre, and I was hoping to have a picture of it to show you, but unfortunately I had it downloaded as I thought I had. But in this dome, there's this beautiful mosaic of the risen Jesus, and it was just being lit up by these shafts of sunlight coming through. And that for me is what Easter is about. You know, Jesus isn't going to be found in the tomb, because he's alive, he's risen. And that is what we and Christians all around the world are celebrating today. And the resurrection of Jesus is without doubt the most important event in history. And the reason Christianity grew from such a small group of followers to over 2 billion people in the world today is because the followers of Jesus were able to say, and are still able to say, Jesus not only died for you, he is alive. You can meet him and you can discover for yourself this reality that we're talking about. And that is what enabled Christianity to grow so rapidly from just a handful of followers of Jesus to the billions of followers today. And it is our testimony, or it should be our testimony today as Christians, that we can say to people, Jesus is alive because we have encountered the risen Jesus. We are eyewitnesses to the resurrection through our own experience of Jesus in our lives. Now, we just heard from John's Gospel telling us what happened on that first Easter Sunday. Excuse me. And this is an eyewitness account of what happened on that day. And as you read it, you realize it's written from a first-person perspective, because John, who wrote the Gospel, is the disciple whom Jesus loved, who is referenced in that Gospel. He is the one that was there on that day. Excuse me. John tells us it was very early in the morning, before dawn, so sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning, on the first day of the week, so on a Sunday. that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb of Jesus. And Mary Magdalene went to the tomb of Jesus to grieve, but also she went there to try and properly prepare Jesus's body for burial. Because on Good Friday, when Jesus died, they hadn't had proper chance to prepare his body for burial, as Jewish custom would dictate, because they had to bury Jesus before the Sabbath. So she goes to Jesus's tomb expecting to find the tomb sealed and Jesus's body inside the tomb. But when she arrived at the tomb, she was shocked to discover that the grave was opened. Now the grave was opened not to let Mary or the other disciples not to let Jesus out of the tomb, but to let Mary and the other disciples into the tomb. And when she sees the tomb open, she's shocked. So she rushes back to Simon Peter and to John and she says, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put them." So John describes how he and Peter run to the tomb. And this is one of the little things I love about John's account. John mentions that he gets to the tomb before Peter. So I get the impression there's a bit of a friendly rivalry between John and Peter. So John wants to make you know he got to the tomb before Peter. So maybe John was younger, or maybe he was just fitter. And we're told that John sees that the tomb is empty, except for strips of linen that have been used to wrap Jesus's body and the burial cloth that had been put around Jesus's head. And John gives us this detail, which is really important. He says the cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Now, this description is significant because what John and Peter and Mary saw was the cloths that had been wrapped around Jesus' body as if still wrapped around his body. In other words, they hadn't been unwrapped. They were almost as though Jesus' body had literally vanished through them. Now, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, Jesus came out of the tomb, and you remember he was wearing the grave clothes, and people had to free him from the grave clothes. They had to unwrap the grave clothes. But what Peter and John and Mary saw in the tomb on that Easter Sunday was different. John Stott, the theologian, put it like this: it was like a discarded chrysalis from which the butterfly had emerged. The clothes, the cloths that wrapped around Jesus' body were lying undisturbed. And this is significant for two reasons. First of all, it shows us that Jesus' resurrection is completely different to the resurrection from Lazarus from the dead. Jesus' resurrection was something totally different. And secondly, it shows us that the most valuable thing in a grave would have been the grave clothes. But we see that the grave itself was not disturbed. So this contradicts the argument that grave robbers must have gone in and taken Jesus' body. Because why would they have left the most valuable thing, the grave clothes? And John tells us this. He says, he saw and he believed. So John, based on the evidence of the empty tomb and the grave clothes that he saw lying there, believed that Jesus had risen from the dead on the account of what he saw. Now, if John was convinced that Jesus had risen from the dead, Mary clearly wasn't convinced. The loss of Jesus' body for Mary was the final indignity, the last straw. And glancing back inside the tomb, she notices two angels seated where Jesus' body had been. And they say to her, "Why are you crying?" Now, if there is one moment in space and time where tears did not need to be shed, it was at the tomb of Jesus on Easter Sunday morning. But Mary repeats her concern to the angels, saying, you know, "Where have they taken the Lord's body?" She still doesn't understand what has happened. And then suddenly she becomes aware of this other presence behind her. And she turns around and it's Jesus standing there. But for some reason, she doesn't recognize Jesus for who he is. She mistakes him as a gardener. Now, John doesn't tell us why she does that. But we do know that on the Emmaus Road later in that day, when Jesus walks with two other disciples, they don't recognize Jesus until later on. So maybe Jesus' physical resurrection appearance was slightly different. I don't know. But for some reason, she doesn't realize it's Jesus. And she says to him, thinking he's the gardener, well, please can you tell me where they've put my Lord's body? And then Mary responds with one word. And I love this. He says, Mary. And as soon as he says her name, suddenly her eyes are open and she realizes that she's standing before the risen Jesus. That one word, her own name, changes her life completely. And I just love the fact that it shows how Jesus cares for each one of us, comes to us individually, calls us individually by name. Mary, and she realizes it's the Lord and he is alive. And all the despair and all the grief and all the darkness that Mary had experienced those last few days suddenly evaporated, and she was filled with this incredible joy and hope. And that's the power of Easter. That's the power of the resurrection. Now, we're very fortunate that today we can physically meet together to celebrate this Easter Sunday. Of course, last year it wasn't possible and we had to worship online. But there are lots of people still in our community, in our nation, in our world, who are in a place of doubt and fear and anxiety. There are lots of people living without hope, worried about the economy, worried about their jobs, worried about their relationships, worried about their health, worried about their finances, worried about the future. And particularly after this year where COVID has affected all of our lives. And Jesus wants to transform those fears. He wants to breathe hope and life and joy into our lives. And when Mary recognizes Jesus, her first response is to want to cling on to him. But Jesus says, don't hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. Now, I really love this because Jesus chooses Mary, a woman, to be the first witness of the resurrection, the first person to see him after he's raised from the dead. Mary, who had seven demons cast out from her by Jesus. Mary, who, along with a few other women, had stayed with Jesus right until the very end, who stood at the foot of the cross as Jesus died, was chosen by Jesus to be the first witness of the most important event in history. And this is hugely significant because women in Jesus' day, in Jesus' culture, in Jewish society at that time, were not considered reliable witnesses. Women weren't even allowed to be witnesses in court because they were considered unreliable. You know, if you were trying to fake the resurrection account, you would make sure that it was someone important, and definitely a man who was the first person to see Jesus, not a woman, because who would believe that? But Jesus chooses Mary to be the witness to the resurrection, the most important event in history. And he gives her that incredible message. We read over the words so quickly that we miss just how profound they are. I am returning to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. The closeness of the relationship that Jesus had with his Father before the crucifixion, which the disciples could not experience, is now open to all of us. He is our Father. He is our God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That barrier of sin that separates us from God has been removed by Jesus' death and resurrection. And the whole thrust of this resurrection encounter is that it not just gives us the historical evidence of what happened over 2,000 years ago, but it reminds us that we can meet the risen Jesus for ourselves today. Not in the physical sense, like Mary encountered him, but through the Holy Spirit and through faith. And this encounter with the risen Jesus today is no less life-transforming than it was to Mary and the other disciples 2,000 years ago. And when Mary tries to cling on to Jesus, Jesus' instruction is, go and tell others that have risen from the dead. And that's Jesus' instruction for us as well today, because we are also witnesses to the resurrection. Because Jesus came for the whole world, and this good news of the resurrection is for the whole world. Everyone needs to hear it. Excuse me. Just imagine you discovered the cure to COVID. Not just the vaccination, a cure that dealt with COVID once and for all. Or imagine you discovered the cure to cancer. You wouldn't want to keep that news to yourself. You would want to tell as many people about it as possible. You would want the whole world to know that you found the cure to COVID or the cure to cancer or whatever else it must be. Well, as Christians, the good news of the resurrection of Jesus is something even more important than discovering the cure to cancer or to the cure to COVID. With the resurrection of Jesus, we have news that is even greater than that. Because this is of eternal consequence for every single person in this world. And as Christians, like Mary, we have a duty to share what Jesus has done for us, to let others know that Jesus is alive, so that they may know the life-transforming experience that Jesus brings. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the new themes, the new focus of the church in Cumbria. And these themes are that we are to follow daily, that we're to care deeply for one another and for our communities, that we're to tread gently, in other words, we're to care for this world in which we live, and we are to speak boldly. We are to share our faith in Jesus with those around us. Now, during Lent, many of us in the church have been studying Living His Story by Hannah Steele, which was the Archbishop of Canterbury's Lent book for 2021. And I want to draw this talk to a close by quoting what Hannah writes at the end of her book, which struck me when I was reading this the other day. She writes this: "On the first Easter morning, God could have chosen to make the news of Jesus' miraculous resurrection known in any number of ways. He could have emblazoned a declaration across the sky so all could have seen it and not doubted its veracity. He could have had Jesus appear alive in the presence of the crowd who had bayed for his death. However, God chose the lips of an ordinary woman whose hearts were broken with grief, now erupting with joy, to be the vessels through which he would pass on this life-changing news. God chose ordinary people with personal stories of redemption and imperfect words to tell the greatest news that there has ever been." And God continues to use ordinary people like you and like me to tell the world this most extraordinary message: that Jesus has died for us. Jesus is alive. He has conquered death. We are the ordinary people through whom God is bringing about a revolution of his extraordinary love. So I pray that as we go from here, as we meet up with family and friends, particularly as restrictions ease, we will speak boldly of the good news that Jesus is alive. Amen.